Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Alex, who is the co-founder of the Brandsman Digital Marketing Agency. His personal background is in SEO, but his agency has grown to offer a wide range of digital services from building brands for wineries to content SEO campaigns. He runs the business remotely and currently lives in Mexico City, but has traveled all over the world running his agency remotely for the last 8 years. Today, we're going to be discussing Alex's journey as an entrepreneur and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Alex.
Yeah, not a problem. Nice to be here.
Awesome. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, what motivates and inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I never really liked having a boss. That was kind of my primary reason for being an entrepreneur. And also, I wanted the ability to work remotely, and this was way pre-pandemic. And so it's hard to convince management to go let you work remotely from Indonesia for 2 months. So you kind of got to be your own boss to do that. So one of my primary motivations was, I want to be my own boss. I want to grow something that's mine. And I also want to have more personal freedom. So
nice. I love it. And how did you originally get into digital marketing?
So I studied marketing in university, and this was pre-digital days, right? I mean, this was before SEO. This was more marketing theory, traditional advertising, things like that. I graduated with a degree in marketing, and then kind of, had a few marketing jobs and was kind of feeling like the office wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. So I ended up traveling and teaching English for a number of years and lived all over the world. And while I was doing that, I started a website and started blogging and started to get a lot of attention to my blog and kind of taught myself digital marketing by accident, trying to get sponsorship on the blog, advertisers, learned that and Google Analytics and all these tools. So when I came back from a few years abroad, I was like, I should work for a digital marketing agency, and I've got a marketing background and mm-hmm. I've basically been learning this stuff myself. So I worked for an agency for a few years in Denver. Helped grow the company from 3 people in the garage to 20 plus employees in downtown Denver. And nice. So I basically learned exactly how to start and grow an agency. Took kind of the top developer designer from that agency, and him and I co-founded the Brandsman about 8 years ago. So
awesome. Very cool. Yeah, no, I went to college for advertising, probably like 10 years ago or so. I'm dating myself, but yeah, nothing is relevant that I learned anymore. Like very, very little of it is still relevant. It was like learning about like print advertising and it's so interesting to see how far digital marketing has grown.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, and there's a lot of stuff you can teach yourself too. So there is some theory, there's some networking. I mean, the experience I had in university studying marketing was valuable, but not practical at all.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So tell us more about the Brandsman and how you guys are different, how you differentiate yourself from other agencies.
Sure. So the Brandsman, we started, I mean, I'm a huge self-proclaimed SEO nerd. This was just an SEO agency at first. And then, we just started growing into more verticals as, our client base grew. And kind of we added more members of the team with different skills. Our agency is a bit different in that, I have no ambition to be a giant agency with 100 employees. I've worked for big agencies, and I do think there's a ceiling to which the quality of service drops, and it mm-hmm. becomes more about profitability and growth for the actual business itself. Now, yes, of course, I want my business to be profitable. Of course, I want my business to grow, but I'm more interested in marketing strategy, right? So I like partnering. I mean, in 8 years, I think we've lost 2 clients. Most clients, once they start working with us, we work with them forever because, you know, we're fair. We actually do what we say, and we basically try to become, you know, their marketing department, but, you know, externally. So, you know, we're super, super relationship based over everything. And, you know, I just don't want to be a giant agency. I like the size that we're at now. And I think that's what kind of separates us. It's not about growth. It's more about, okay, we've reached a size where we're, you know, we're happy with the money we're making. We're happy with the service we're delivering. Let's continue to kind of, you know, flourish in that environment. So.
Okay. So how do you create, you know, stickier clients who are really happy and loyal to your company?
Relationships, honestly, relationships and clearly defined KPIs. So, I mean, you know, there's so many marketing companies that, especially in the digital space, that it's very much smoke and mirrors. It's very much about like, oh, we're doing SEO. It's a combination of we're doing some on-page stuff this month and we're growing some links or building some links, but it's not clearly defined. When we sell a client, it's like an almost an a la carte menu, right? It's we offer services A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They're defined in Trello board. We can give you access to that Trello board and you can see exactly when these tasks are completed. So there's never any question. Like when I was working for agencies in the past, there's always like, what have you guys been doing? And that's my least favorite question on this planet, because it's like, oh, you're paying a significant amount of money and you don't even know what you're getting for it. That's a horrible feeling. So we try to just create perfect transparency. So there's never that question of what are my marketing guys actually doing? And through that trust, builds a relationship. Yeah. And then I also try to, you know, be friendly, be personable, and actually build personal relationships with clients, you know what they're doing, what they like, and things like that. So transparency and relationships is how we've been sticky, I suppose.
Interesting. Okay. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis? And how do you overcome those challenges?
I would say now, I mean, so when I was living, like we had an office in Denver for a while and we were working, you know, not all remote. Now my business is completely remote. And I would say, you know, creating company culture with a complete remote team is super difficult, right? I mean, we do like weekly trivia together and we do a lot of branding in the alcohol space. So, you know, sometimes we brainstorm and drink wine while we're trying to think of, you know, some cool branding or messaging strategy for a new vineyard. But it's just different when you have someone in the office that you can go, you know, that water cooler talk that people make fun of is actually really important in, you know, building relationships with your teammates. And so I would say it's, you know, motivating and creating company culture within my own team is probably the most difficult thing I deal with on a day-to-day basis. Also hiring is so hard these days just because there's an influx. Like, I mean, I put a job offer out recently on Indeed, and I got something like 8,000 resumes in a week. And it's like, I don't even have the time to go through 8,000 resumes. But if you only go through 100, then you're like, well, what if that diamond in the rough is further? So it creates this, there's too much noise in hiring right now, and it's much less personable. It's very difficult. So.
Interesting. So do you have any tips that you've learned during the hiring process at all for finding someone who is a good fit for your team and your culture?
Yeah. I mean, I would say definitely do your due diligence and check your references is the most important, because it's really easy to, like, there's so much about interviewing that's fluff, especially when it's not face to face. You can kind of embellish previous endeavors you have. You can say, oh, I'm very experienced in Google Ads, and, you know, we've had trouble of hiring people. You know, we asked the right questions, but then when they actually came on, their level of understanding and expertise was so much lower than we expected. And it's like, people try to sell too much of themselves. Like, it's not like we wouldn't have hired this person, but we would have liked to have known that their level was below what they sold themselves as. Right. So I think checking with references and talking to previous agencies and saying, you know, what really were these people working on? Because I think we're in a culture now where people tend to oversell themselves. And I think that can be positive, but also negative. So.
No, it's really interesting. And then do you guys do like a probationary period so you can really get a good feel for if they're a good fit for your agency?
We probably will now, but we haven't done that in the past. We were doing like internships. So, you know, working with current college students who were about to graduate maybe 2 or 3 months. So then, You know, they could have 2-3 months to get to know the team, get to know the processes, the tools. And then when they come out of university, they're kind of, you know, ready to go. So that's sort of a probationary period.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's definitely a good idea to have that for sure.
Interesting. So I'd love to talk a little bit about what your sales process kind of looks like within your agency, you know, how you're bringing in more leads and then closing those sales. What does that look like within your agency?
Yeah. So, I mean, our sales process, I'm very much about practice what you preach, right? And, you know, we're an SEO agency and I would, you know, if you type Denver marketing agency, we rank number one, and that means we're good at SEO. And I challenge any SEO agency that says they're good at SEO and SEO isn't their primary lead source. They're not good at SEO. All of our leads come from SEO 100%. I honestly have more leads than I'm able to service because, like I said, I don't want to grow too much. I like the level that we're at. I sell all the clients personally myself. So, you know, I don't want to hire a sales team. I don't think when I've worked at agencies where there's often a disconnect between sales and operations, right? Mm-hmm. If someone just knows how to sell, they might not truly understand the big picture of that challenge and sell something. And then the team realizes this is never going to work out because I come from a marketing background and have grown into the owner of a business, and you know, now I'm selling, I always can see the whole picture. And so I often say no, like this isn't a project we want to take on. So I would say, you know, if you're a marketing agency that says you're good at something, then you should be using that to generate leads. And if you're not, then I find it suspect. You know, I all the time we take over clients and it's like, oh well, this SEO agency said they were great. And I was like, well, did you Google them? Because that's a really easy thing to say. And there is an excuse in the industry like, well, we use all of our time on our clients and not our own business. But I don't know about that. If you're good at SEO, you should be ranking. So
yeah, no, it's very true. And then so when you guys bring on a new client, do you pass them off to an account executive from there? Is that how that works?
Yeah. So I'd like to have, you know, FaceTime at least once a quarter, once a month, depending on the size of the client with every client. So, I mean, I know every client that we have by name. I understand what their business is and all that, and kind of help with top level strategy. But once we sign a new client, then, you know, we have an onboarding meeting with, you know, sometimes it's just an account manager. It depends on all the verticals they're in, right? Sometimes it's creative. Sometimes it's a, you know, social media manager. And sometimes it's just an account manager. It really depends on the size of the client. But yeah, there's an offboarding process to that account manager. And we kind of have a introductory meeting and stuff like that. So,
okay. I'm curious, do you ever experience friction when passing off a client to the account manager in that a sense that they want to be working with you directly?
Yes, that's a huge challenge just because, you know, I mean, I've been doing digital marketing for a very long time now and I can speak at a high level to it. And so, you know, sometimes, especially with new hires that are younger, you know, I mean, I do think in social media, the generation younger than me, people in their 20s might understand social media even better than I do. Yeah. However, there is sometimes a disconnect of, you know, this person seemed like they knew what they were talking about, they understood my business and this is getting transitioned. And that's why I like to stay somewhat involved. I think that's why big agencies often fail is that it's like, sales guy's done, here you go, operations. And there's not really a smooth transition. You just got slick talked into a contract. But that is a challenge. And it's about, you know, teaching your team to be good at what they do. And then also being available. Like I like to check in with clients regularly and say, hey, you know, are you happy working with one of my account managers? How's that going? You know, do you want to chat about it? So being available too.
Okay. How do you make that transition a little bit easier for your clients? Is there any techniques that you've come across that have worked well?
I think being in the meeting together with the account manager and the client and kind of, you know, being that I know it's like if you were setting up a blind date, but you were there for the first 15 minutes of the date, you know, it sounds a little awkward in the dating sense, but you know, you're there to kind of give an introduction to both of them. Actually, it sounds horrible from the dating sense. Don't recommend that at all. But yeah, from a client pass off perspective, it's nice to be there, introduce the two, explain the strategy, explain, you know, what this person's role is and kind of, you know, make it smooth and not just like your account manager will get a hold of you in a week. Like so cold, you know? So.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Very interesting. And then, so, you know, when you have a prospect that you've determined that you'd love to work with them, you think they'd be a great fit for your agency. But maybe they're dragging their feet a little bit with getting started. Have you come across any tips for kind of speeding the process up and stopping procrastination?
I'm fairly patient with clients, actually. Like I was a sales manager for an agency before, and you know, we were trained to be very pushy and follow up daily and call and things like that. And while I do think that can work, I also think that you can put a bad taste in a client's mouth too.
Yeah.
So I'm actually a lot more patient about it. And what I try to do is just, you know, okay, you know, if you're not busy now, like I'll follow up every 2 weeks. How about that? Or we'll try to get, you know, I'm persistent, but patient. And yeah. I do think that's worked in my favor a lot, because a lot of salespeople and agencies, they're just like cold. Nobody wants to be called out of the blue ever. Honestly, I don't ever want to be called out of the blue. I'd like to schedule it. I love talking. Let's schedule a call whenever you want. But don't call me out of the blue at 2 p.m. Like there's something, I'm busy, I'm doing something, right? So yeah. I'm actually, you know, I would say be a little bit more patient with people, because I mean, people are inundated with trying to get sold digital marketing. Every single day, there's someone reaching out to them trying to sell it. So
it's true.
Be patient.
Yeah, no, yeah. I really like that strategy. I think, you know, you have to follow up. The follow-up is so important, but yeah, not following up too aggressively, and, you know, just being real, like just being a real human being, treating people the way you want to get treated and not being too pushy is really important.
Oh no. What you said about being a real human being is the best thing ever, because it's so true. Like you don't want someone annoying you like this. So why would you annoy someone like that? It's like, well, let's just be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like though all those LinkedIn messages that you get, like, I just like, it's a waste of time and resources.
Like, it's unreal how many, I mean, I probably get like 20 people a day, if not more, just messaging me trying to, you know, hey, we'll white label. It's just, it's ineffective. It's a waste of time. But
I agree. So what has been so far the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome within your agency, and how have you overcome that?
I would say the biggest challenge to overcome is growth. And it's, you know, when I started this with my co-founder, it was the two of us. And, you know, his technical prowess is unmatched, in my opinion. He's a designer, developer. He knows every tool. He's so good at everything technical. I come from more of a strategic marketing, you know, sales, business management, operations background. So we had kind of a perfect business marriage, if you will.
Yeah.
And the first few years, when it was just to us, it was just terrific, because, you know, we knew everything going on, but then we wanted to scale without changing anything, which is impossible, right? Because even if you train someone to do exactly the same, you know, marketing techniques and everything you do, they're going to put their own spin on it. And so it's that growth is tough to go from a two-person agency to a 10 or 20 or whatever. It's really tough to try to keep maintaining control. And I think what I've learned the most is that sometimes you just can't, and that's okay. You know, sometimes your employee is going to do something not exactly the way that you wanted it done, and that will infuriate you, but it will get to the end result that you wanted, and you need to just let that go. That's what I've found is helpful in growth, but I mean, it's still a challenge. It's I would say the hiring of people, the management of people, that's the hardest part. It's not the actual marketing work. I mean, there are clients that are more challenging than others, but it's that internal issues.
Interesting. And then, so if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
One would be don't grow too fast. You know, it's like reputation is everything in this. I mean, you know, we've never had a bad review as a business ever. And that's part of the reason why we have a really, really good lead pipeline right now, is because we rank well. And we've never had a client angry with us. If you try to scale too quickly, and you know, you sell too many clients at once, and then you have, you know, all these new account managers who don't know exactly how they want things done, you're ultimately going to get one unhappy client, right? And one unhappy client, if you're looking at hiring two agencies for a decent amount of money, they both rank well, but one has perfect reviews and one has two of those bad reviews, you're probably going to go with the perfect reviews one. So I mean, I would say it's be patient with your growth and make sure you're you know, not focusing too much on it, and clients are getting thrown to the wayside, because your reputation in the industry is is what's going to get new clients on. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Happy clients. They're going to talk about you. And then every once in a while you get super lucky and you get one of those like super clients who just like talk about you with like everyone that they meet. And those are just like the best clients to get.
I refer you to their friends and their family. And I mean, that's, I mean, referrals is one of the biggest drivers other than SEO of leads for us as well. It's huge.
Yeah, definitely. So do you have any tips for being more efficient and productive in your day to day?
Yeah. List making, 100% list making is the only way I can be productive. So, I mean, I used to just, in digital marketing, there's a million things you could do, right? It's not like you're working in a factory making one specific item. There's so many different things you could do. And so, you know, it's easy to get on your computer and then start checking your email, and then you get a Trello notification and then a Slack notification, and then it's 2 o'clock. You're like, oh man, what happened today?
Yeah.
So, you know, every morning, you know, get your cup of coffee, and whether it's, I mean, my business partner has to do digital, I have to do it handwritten in a notebook, not related to my computer, and you bullet, this is what I'm going to get done today.
Yeah.
In the order that you think you should do it. Now, do I abide by the list every day? Absolutely not. I think it's sidetracked. But
yeah.
I'm so happy when I do. And I would say for anyone working in any industry, that list making is so key, because it really helps you see how much you can get done that day and helps you prioritize. Because like most people do this. It's like task A is a huge pain. I don't really want to do it. So I'm going to do task B, C, D, E, F, G, and then put A at the end of the day. Well, you have no energy at the end of the day. You don't want to do A. So then A happens tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah.
So this is list making is like a physical list has been a game changer for me for sure.
Yes, I do. I do list making as well. And I laugh because I run a software company and I still pen and paper make the list. I'm like, that is like how I prioritize my time. It sounds so Stone Age, but yeah, no, it's the most effective for me as well. So I combine list making with time blocking. So just putting that in my calendar, and that works really well. So if it's a task that I have to do on a regular basis, it just goes in my calendar. It's got that time block blocked off. And that has really helped with any sense of overwhelm, because then I can just block out everything else. I can just focus on that one task at hand, and it works really well.
Yeah, that's actually a brilliant technique. Like what I do now, because I'm a new father, and sometimes I have to get up at 5 a.m. and for my baby, and I end up just starting to work. And I was actually talking to my business partner about this yesterday. My favorite time of working is when I work from like 5 a.m. to 7, because there's no one.
Yeah.
There's no one that can Slack. There's no one that can call. There's no one that emails me, and I can focus on actual work. So sometimes I modify my schedule so that I can be working outside of work times, and then I block hours that I can be available for my team, for clients, for sales calls, whatever. But I love that idea about blocking it out. And I think that should be made more mainstream. Like, I'm not available. Like, I'm working, but I'm not available. Please don't message me. I'm trying to knock out task ABC right now. I think that should be made more like, that's normal. So.
Yeah. I actually, like, I love working on weekends and on holidays, not all the time, but like I definitely enjoy that time when you know you're just not going to be interrupted and you have that uninterrupted work time.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. And it's like, it's almost better to take the holiday and work and then take off a random day instead. And then, you know, it's, you almost enjoy it more that way. So I'm with you on that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. So, and then do you have any tips for boosting productivity within your team?
I would say boosting productivity comes from creating a culture. You know, like if people want to work for you and if people want to work for your company, they're going to be more productive. We've played with the idea of like incentive based, you know, if you get X number of tasks done, or if your clients, you know, are super happy or whatever, then there's, you know, bonuses involved. But I actually don't, while we have kind of, and we are playing with those ideas, I think that type of motivation is not as effective as that intrinsic motivation that comes from believing in the company you're working for. Yeah. I mean, like what I try, there's so many scammy companies in digital marketing. And what my team likes the most about my company is that we're actually trying to help people. And so like, I mean, I hear that all the time. Like, I believe in what you guys are doing, and that's what motivates them. And so I think it's that, like trying to just be a good person, a good boss, and a good company that's honest. Like if you mess up, you just say you messed up. You know, it's not, everybody messes up every day. So yeah, the intrinsic motivation that comes from wanting to work for the company, I think is key.
Awesome. And then where do you see the Brandsman in 5 years' time?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't have like a strategic objective to grow into certain industries. We've grown exponentially in the alcohol space, mostly from SEO. If you type alcohol branding marketing, we rank number one for those types of keywords. So we've got a lot of, you know, vineyards, distilleries, you know, that we've been working with all over the world to help kind of brand them, build websites, social media strategies, things like that. I kind of let these things flow naturally. Once you start to do work with a few clients in a few industries, if you grow within that industry.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't have a vision of a specific industry I want to grow into more. I think we're in all the verticals we want to be in. So I think it's kind of just more of the same. I mean, everything's going really well. So if it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So
sure.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So I'll be honest, this is a book I listen to. I am not the best reader, but I listen to books like crazy because I walk my dog a lot and clean the house and I love podcasts and books.
Yeah.
So this is a book I listened to, but it was Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. It's so good. It's so fascinating to me to, you know, everybody knows what Nike is, right? It's one of the biggest companies on this planet, so organized. And to see what it was like in its beginning is fascinating because it was so disorganized and all over the place, and he almost went bankrupt and almost failed. So like it's I really liked that. I found it really motivating that, like, you know, you can have such a disorganized disarray of trying to start a business and then it ends up being one of the most successful companies on earth.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, go ahead. I just liked his aspect of luck. Like he always kept talking about how life is equal parts determination, equal parts luck. And that's so true. Like, you know, you could try so hard, but there's such a luck component and you really embrace that. That's it. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. I think I was so inspired when I finished reading that book because he just, like you said, like the sheer determination, like he just put everything into that company and it was like, it was like a massive company and he was still, almost going bankrupt so many times.
Yeah.
So, it's such a good read and, it definitely just gets you inspired and ready to get to work in your own business.
Yeah. I liked the cultural component as well. I mean, he was dead set on having these shoes made in Japan, but he didn't know anything about Japan. And he was a young guy just flying across the ocean, trying to work it out with them. I mean, what a fascinating guy. I mean, I really didn't know much about him before, but I came away from it just wanting to learn more about this guy. He's just fascinating. So
I agree. And then, so I know you have a little one, but what does your morning routine look like?
Yeah, so I'm currently living in Mexico City, have a new baby, which definitely changes my morning routine a little bit, but it always starts with coffee. So I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, here in Mexico City, every street corner they sell coffee, tamale. I usually, you know, go outside, walk my dog a little bit, grab coffee and tamale. And then I like to listen to like the news or something, you know, something that just gets my brain starting to work a little bit. So maybe take 30 minutes, maybe it's the news, maybe it's a podcast, whatever it is. And then I sit down and I make my list before I turn my computer on, before I do anything. If you turn your computer on before you make your list, your day is ruined. You're never going to make that list.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, put your coffee down, sit down and get into it. But I try to get moving pretty quick. I mean, I would say from the moment I open my eyes, I'm working within probably 30, 40 minutes, which is good and bad.
No, you got to find what works for you, right?
Yep.
So is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I wouldn't say there's a CEO that I really follow or study. One person that I'm a little bit obsessed with is he's not a CEO, but Winston Churchill. And I've been listening, I'm I'm currently listening to a book called The Splendid and the Vile by Eric Larson, which is I highly recommend it. It's about World War II and just, you know, the British's role in it, Winston Churchill specifically. But I mean, he's just, you know, I like when people end up doing something with their life that they were clearly born to do. Like, you know, Michael Jordan is a good example of that. I think he did exactly what he should have done. And I think Winston Churchill too. I mean, like, he was born to be that stoic character in the exact time period that he was, you know, put into that role. And so I just think he oozes kind of resilience and perseverance. And I also really liked, from a marketing standpoint, he had a super, super keen eye when it came to attention to detail. So like every speech he wrote, he would rewrite it. And like his assistants would be like, every word he would, you know, look at a thesaurus, or he would, you know, make sure that it sounded right. So like he was very detail oriented when it came to the message he wanted to deliver. Mm-hmm. And I find that is a super good lesson to learn in marketing, right? I mean, you know, these days we're inundated with hundreds of ads every day. It's the ones that are more effective and better done that actually resonate. I think he was just an excellent communicator and just a really interesting human being. So I'd say I follow him. He's not a CEO, but, you know, yeah, pretty important job. So
yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting. And then what is your favorite online tool?
It's going to sound boring, but honestly, the online tool I use the most is Google Analytics and Google Search Console. Like I said, I mean, I'm a huge SEO nerd and I love pulling back the hood. Like, it's so interesting to me because sometimes you'll see a website and be like, this website looks terrible. Like, this just isn't working. And then you'll go look at the analytics and be like, wow, you know, they get a ton of traffic. Like, some of these pages are working. And then conversely, you'll see someone who threw up a really slick, expensive website. And, you know, you pull up the hood and it's got terrible user metrics, no traffic, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, I really like going in and looking at Google Analytics Search Console and just kind of, there's so much you can learn. I mean, I think I would challenge any business owner, even if you're not that tech savvy, to learn just the basics of how to know where your traffic's coming from and what they're doing, because that information is so valuable to your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Don't overplan anything, whether that's personal or professional. Mm-hmm. I think like it's really easy for especially students to kind of, you know, get this idea in their head of like, all right, I'm going to be in digital marketing. I want to work specifically in social media. I want to work in this industry. You know, I want to work in Silicon Valley, you know, whatever. And then if it doesn't go according to plan, because you put all your eggs in that basket, you feel like a failure, or you feel like, you know, this isn't the course I wanted. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, I think, you know, both in business and life, it's more about how you react to situations. And so, you know, kind of like Phil Knight said with luck, like sometimes you're going to be lucky in your life, follow that luck. Sometimes you have to be unlucky and you need to persevere and be kind of resilient. But I would say, yeah, I mean, you know, have a plan, have goals, but don't, you know, put all your eggs in that plan, because life changes quickly. And to be a good marketer, to be a good person, to be a good business person, it's more about reacting than it necessarily is about creating this clear plan that you're going to follow perfectly, because plans fail always.
Yeah. So, interesting.
I say don't over plan. Yeah.
I like that. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Alex. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed chatting with you as well. If you don't mind, I'd like to just plug, I'm actually starting my own podcast as well. If you don't mind, can I just talk about that for just a second?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So it's called People, Pints, and Passports. It's brand new. We haven't even recorded the first episode yet. We're about to next week. But basically the premise is, I mean, I've traveled a lot in my life, been to 70 plus countries, lived in four continents. And what my co-host and I are doing is we want to be the first, maybe someone's done this, I'm not sure, but we want to be the first people to have a beer in person with someone from every country in the world. So every episode, we're going to be sitting down with someone in person from a different country, having a beer with them and chatting about, you know, what life is like in their country, you know, their culture versus our culture, things like that. And, you know, from a personal standpoint, I like the idea of having the legacy of being, you know, one of the first guy who ever had a beer with someone from everyone on this planet or someone from every country in the world. Yeah. But from a more human standpoint, you know, I think there's, especially in today's world, there's a lot of, you know, misconceptions and ideologies and ways of thinking, religions, you know, this country's bad, this country's good. Mm-hmm. It's a lot about politics. And, you know, when you just share a beer with someone, sit down and talk about daily life, I think people are more or less all the same and very similar. Yeah. And that's kind of what we want to do, is show that. So yeah, People, Pints and Passports, going to be launching here in a couple of weeks, but just kind of wanted to mention it. So
awesome. And then where can our listeners check that out if they're interested?
It's peoplepintspassports.com. So.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. And yeah, definitely going to check that out.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Julia, for having me on. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Thanks so much, Alex.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.